So I hope the explanation of suffering in the second noble truth helps you understand. Really, actually keeping it in mind help us know how to face difficulties in our life. Yeah. There are many difficult things that we deal with, and we can always ask ourselves, there's a choice. We can choose to fall into our habitual reactivity, hating it, resisting it, and making it worse. Or see that, yes, this is what's happening. Not what I wanted, not what I planned, but that is what's happening. And I have a student who used this word, grace. This is what's happening. And be fully present with what is unfolding moment to moment. Notice our compulsion to go down the path of suffering, because that's what we are, that's our default. Our default is suffering. Our default is reacting with vexation. And so don't be surprised. And that, oh, I hate it. It's like, oh, and then if you see yourself giving rise to vexation, not a problem. Okay, yes. But this moment, brand new moment, what do I choose? This moment, how about I choose not reacting with vexation? And the next moment we forget, we react with vexation. And then, but this is a brand new moment. This moment, I don't need to choose reacting with vexation. It is more like that, the practice. It's not like, oh, I got it, you know. Okay, you know, I got it. It's like, just don't react with vexation and no more suffering. The Four Noble Truths is not this linear thing. It's like, okay, I know what's suffering now. I know what causes suffering. I will stop that, done. It's not like that. We all know it's not like that, if you ever try. If you have not tried, you may imagine that's how it's going to go. When you finally decide to practice. If you have tried to practice, if you have tried to meditate, you know that's not how it is. Okay, here's like, I'm on the method, and then I'm done. I'm on the method. My mind never drifts off again. That's not how it is, right? You're on the method, and then go off for a really long time. And then what am I doing? Oh, I come back. Not a problem. And then you drift off again. Oh, okay, you come back. That's the process. And the more we practice, the more we become familiar with how we drift off, then oftentimes we may find that we can notice that we have drifted off earlier. And then it's easier for us to come back because we are familiar with how to come back. The same thing with suffering in our daily life, when we are experiencing very challenging, difficult situation. Our default, we are so habituated, is to blame someone, hate this, cause ourselves more suffering. Count on that happening. It's like the mind drifting off, doing that. That's what you've been doing. You've been feeding this habit for a long time. So, not a problem. Okay, but when you see that that's what you're doing, very good. You're seeing the first and second noble truth, how you are causing yourself suffering. Now, you know, next moment, I can choose differently. I can choose not to activate the same habit of reactivity. And then when the mind get tired or agitated, we forget the practice and we fall back into the habit. Not a problem, because then you can see, oh, okay, I'm causing myself suffering again. How about now I stop? Every moment we remember the practice, that's the moment we suffer less, because we can remember to not go down, not go down. The habit of reacting with vexation that brings suffering. And when we can do that, yes, whatever is physically or emotionally painful, it's happening, it's painful, but we have more clarity and also more space to allow us to see clearly what can be done, how we can cause ourselves less suffering and less harm to others. Don't we do that when we're suffering? We also cause a lot of pain to people around us, and that in turn cause us more grief. So when we do less of that, we're also reducing our suffering. Wisdom is not causing ourselves suffering. Compassion, not causing harm to others because of our suffering. So we're doing everyone a favor when we do not cause ourselves suffering. So when we cause ourselves suffering, it's not just us. If you think that I don't care, I'm suffer, I just suffer, I suffer all the time already, so what who cares? It affects other people too. So if you don't care about yourself, how about people you love? When you suffer, it's painful for them. Painful to watch someone. So I hope you can. It's not just something to understand, to talk about conceptually. What we're doing here is to learn to integrate it into our lives. So that's where the meditation come into place. A lot of time, practitioners like do sitting meditation and then study the Dhamma as if they are completely two different departments. When we are doing sitting meditation, we actually are allowing ourselves to see clearly, experience directly how we cause suffering, how we cause suffering to ourselves. In your meditation, anyone have some, I don't know, like discomfort in your body? Or maybe like you feel, hey, these thoughts should not be here. Your mind is not as calm as you would like. The mind is the way it is now. But you see yourself reacting with aversion. The mind is not how it's supposed to be. Does it sound familiar? Dukkha. The present moment is not how it's supposed to be. Aversion. Hating what's in the present moment. Or when you are sitting, meditating well, oh, this feels good, so relax. One more relax. I want to feel calmer. More. I hope this never ends. Craving. Craving for more that is pleasant. Suffering or change. So when you hear the bell, or when you hear the voice, she's disturbing me, disturbing my calm. So, actually, those are perfect opportunity to see for yourself what the Buddha was talking about. There is suffering right now in meditation. How we are reacting to the present moment with these entrenched habits of craving and aversion. Craving for more of that is present, hating, pushing away, resisting what we don't like. Except that believing that we can actually get rid of it. Have you noticed by hating something, you don't make it go away? Have you? But we don't stop trying. Okay? It's like, I'm hating this so that it will go away. All we are doing is generating suffering. What is happening is already kind of uncomfortable or painful, but we add suffering on top of it. What is painful in a body or in our life emotionally, oftentimes we can't do very much about, but we can not add the suffering. That's what the Buddha taught. So, five skandhas. Five skandhas, this word skandha just make it seem so complicated. So the word skandha really means aggregates or heaps, things that they pile on top of each other, but coming together. And the five skandhas really is a Buddhist term, a Buddhist way to talk about the experience of being human. That is a way to talk about the experience of having a body and mind living in our world. That's it. That's our whole experience, right? Being human. It's like it's body, mind. In this environment. And five skandhas, there's a form. I know that you're using a slightly different translation. I will use the five skandhas that I use. The form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. And one thing I want to bring to your attention for those of you who have been studying this, for those of you, this is very new, not a problem. I will try my best to explain it so that you can understand it too. One problem with talking about the five skandhas may lead people to think that the five skandhas, form, sensation, perception, volition, that's suffering. Like I think Dave, you're talking about how like this, you know, this skanda, the sensation, like there is sensation, and then when there is a sensation that happen, then there is suffering, which is very confusing because that means when you hear things that suffering, then what should we do? Should we destroy our ears so we don't have sensation? What are we like? That doesn't sound right at all. Like, are we talking? What are we talking about here? It has to do with a the word sakskanda actually refers to, in this case, when in the context of the teaching, refers to another term, upadana skanda in the Abhidhamma Kosha, for those of you who are familiar with that, which is a very important commentary of the early sutras, referring to actually what we're talking about, the five skandhas that causes suffering, is upadana skanda, which is translated as aggregates affected by clinging. So it's not the skanda itself per se that causes suffering. It is the skanda, the aggregate, affected by clinging, that is causing suffering. So keep this in mind, like try to remember this. It's not the skanda itself. So let's say, first of all, form, the form skanda. What is form skanda? Form refers to our body and our environment. So the body, and especially our sense organs, eye, nose, tongue, body, mind, includes your mind, your brain, so that, and also the sense object, like your sight object, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you touch, the mental object that your mind come into contact with, that make up the whole world, no? Everything that we come into contact with, we come into contact with our sense organs, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. That's the form skanda. And especially like, so the body and the environment. And think about the body. So remember, this is the skanda, skanda, upadana skanda, skanda, affected by clinging. So like we have body, the body itself is no problem. Remember, like there's this body and it changes constantly. It's made up of the four elements, another traditional Buddhist way of talking about this. Or nowadays, we're like, we have cells, you know, we have like fluid, and but it's like, but whatever way we talk about it, body is constantly changing. When we were born, our body's not like this. My mom always said, when you were born, you were like this. It's like I was half 5.5 pounds. Like I'm way more than 5.5 pounds now. And actually, my body now is not quite the same as my body a minute ago. Because I've been breathing, thankfully. And the air in my lungs, this moment, quite different from the air in my lungs a few moments ago. No? And I think we've been exchanging air between us. Some of the air in my body now is in your body. What was in my lunch dinner box now inside me. Body constantly changing. That is the true nature of the body. That's not how we think about a body, no? Do you have a favorite picture of yourself? That's me. That you still use? That is me. You may still try to go back to that body. No? And not just appearance, the way it feels and function. No? Yeah, my mom says, oh yeah, you know, I used to be able to just walk to the market, you know. I still try to do that, and we have this idea of how the body is supposed to be. And that's why we get upset that it's not conforming to that idea. No? That's the clinging. Forms gonna affected by clinging. Sometimes you hear the word attachment. This is attachment, attachment. What's this attachment? We attach to our idea. Our idea of ourselves. So the part of ourselves that is the form skanda, the body, we attach to our idea of our body. Whatever you think your body is supposed to be like, you have it. That is the standard you use to nitpick the present moment reality of your body. No? It's like, is the sore back, you know, it's not moving as fast as supposed to. Oh, it's like more tired than I'm supposed to be. No? Well, you may have your 20-year-old body there in your mind. Not good enough. Not good enough. Not how it's supposed to be. Sound familiar? Suffering. And where do we get this idea? Not good enough. Not how it's supposed to be. Clinging. We create this idea in our mind of how body is supposed to be and use it to judge and criticize the present moment experience of the body. And we do that in our meditation, don't we? We sit in a meditation. We have this idea. My body is supposed to be pain-free. Whatever idea you have, if you meditate for many years, oh, when I started meditating 30 years ago, I just sit and, you know, full lotus, no problem. Now, you know, pain and this and that. Whatever it is, how you form your idea, we use this idea that we cling to as how this body is supposed to be, to judge the present moment experience. Not good enough. Hate it. Hate the present moment one. Should be that one. Should be that one. Not how it's supposed to be. Suffering. Suffering. And so, remember the Heart Sutra. Bodhisattva, coursing in the deep prajnaparamita, perceive that the five skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all suffering. How about first order of business? To see, learn to see first, conceptually, the body is empty. Empty here does not mean that it does not exist. It most definitely exists. Someone ate dinner. You are sitting where you are sitting. We're taking up space here. So it does not mean that we don't exist. We all exist here. It does not exist. It does not exist as inherently, independently existing entity, like I mentioned. What's making up my body is the coming together of causes and conditions. The air we exchange, the water we drink, the food we eat, the temperature of the space we're in is not minus 40 in here. I wouldn't be talking to you if it's minus 40 in here. And it's not 120 degrees either. Everything that makes the present moment a form of the body now coming together causes and conditions. We completely take for granted all the time. The food, the water, temperature, everything that makes this body alive in the form it is. So the moment we think, oh, you know, I'm not feeling so good, I hate it, it's like still pretty good, still alive. Most things still work. We take all that for granted. We hate the fact that there's this little soreness in the back. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Completely take for granted that I can still see, I can still hear, I can still see, not as good as before, but still pretty good. I can still walk, move, I can still do most of that. I still can digest my food. Very good. That is made possible by many, many causes and conditions. And when some of those causes and conditions change, some of that will change. Some bodily functions will change. May not work the way they used to. Anyone like notice the eye not seeing so good? Need glasses as you get older? Causes and conditions. So when we remember conceptually, form is empty, meaning that every moment of this form, this body, coming together of causes and conditions. That's what he means by being empty, impermanent, constantly causes and conditions. Then first we will not fall into the toxic habit of taking things for granted. Then we are less likely to fall into the habit of vexation. Yes, there's a headache. Okay, is it very serious? Maybe I need to call my doctor. If it's not very serious, maybe I take an ibuprofen. Not a problem. But do we often turn it into a huge problem and get super cranky and lash out at people? We don't need to go down that path of suffering while being with the experience fully so that we can actually take good care of ourselves. And that is not just the body, this body, right? Environment oftentimes involves what we interact with. It includes the trees, view that we see, right? Sight object. This reminds me, recently our neighbor in our backyard decided to put a very white solid fence. So it sort of completely changed the view from our window. Impermanence, like the view, the coming together of causes and conditions. Our neighbor decided to put up this fence, different view. So glad I enjoyed my view before. So, and that's a sight object that's outside, and also of course include other people. No, the environment include other people, and we all know other people also constantly changing. Our relationship with them constantly changing. But we forget. So the aggregate affected by clinging, we, the same way we cling to a fixed idea of this body, we cling to a fixed idea of other, like objects, other people. So it's easier, okay, it's like, this is empty, like even though, so we still get pretty attached. Oh, this is my mug, you know, we get upset when it breaks. And then it's okay, it's impermanent, still. But other people in our life, we have formed an idea how they're supposed to be. Don't we do that? It's my partner, my child, my friend. That's how they're supposed to be. We create a fixed idea. We have reify a person, but they too are constantly changing. Changing not just their body, but their ideas, their worldview, their experience, their feelings, their feeling towards you, their feeling towards everything else. But we do not see that. We only want to see our idea of that person that we have formed maybe some time ago. Think about your experience, people in your life that you formed an idea of, maybe from the first time you met them, Sometimes you marry someone, you marry to your idea of that person when you first met them on your first date. And then it's like, well, they're not, yeah, something's wrong with this person, you know? Like, they're not how they're supposed to be. You haven't paid any attention to the person you're married to for years now. Married to your idea of that person. Instead of being fully present with who's right here with you. That's why in the meditation practice, we always talk about being fully here. You heard in my guided meditation, being fully here with the changing sensation of the body mind in this space, moment to moment. What were you doing? Is to practice. Being fully here with our body, mind, and also others around us as they are right now in this moment, so that we can see for ourselves how we cause our suffering, because we don't do that. How we see that, how we're sitting in that person, something's wrong with that person. They're not how they're supposed to be. And then hopefully, if you integrate what we're talking about here, you see how, oh, I do hold a certain idea of how that person's supposed to be all the time. Even though conceptually I know impermanence, I know that, I've heard that many times. But somehow when it comes to me, I'm exempt. And the people in my life, exams also, they are fixed. Everything, I know, impermanent. But when it's me, mine, the people in my life, they are fixed. Interesting, right? We have these funny ideas. So actually, when we're practicing, we cultivate clear awareness of these interesting, funny ideas we have. It's not to beat ourselves up, like, oh, how interesting, how funny I think that. Like, I think I'm exempt from the impermanence. I think people in my life are supposed to be fixed entities, like how they were when I first met them. Or if you have children, maybe you have a version of your kid when they were 5, when they were cute. And then they were just, I don't know, something's wrong with them. Hopefully you still hold out for the hope that they will become, go back to that cute one. You're still waiting. Or you hope you can just find the magic way to fix them to go back to that cute one. No? Suffering. Instead of being fully here, enjoying the person who's right here with us. Now. Not only do we cause ourselves suffering by clinging to our idea of a person and constantly feeling dissatisfied how they are not who they are supposed to be. They're not matching the idea we have about that person in our mind. Our feeling that person is not meeting your expectation is painful for that person. You're not seeing that person. You are not with them. You are in love with your idea of that person, not with the person as they are now. So form skanda and how our clinging to an idea of it, the body, our ourselves and others, but outside of us, as fixed entity, that is what causes suffering. Having a body, having things in our life, people in our life, not a problem. We can enjoy them fully when we can unlearn, release this compulsion to cling to our idea of ourselves, of other as fixed entity. But this is a very entrenched habit. That's why we need to practice first to see for ourselves how we really do that. You ever sitting here is like, I don't know, you know, she's making this up. I don't do that. Like, maybe I do that once in a great while, not that often. The practice is to get us to see that, I really do this. If you can see yourself doing this a lot, that's good. You're making progress in your practice. You are cultivating clarity, seeing clearly how your mind operates, how you've been causing suffering for yourself. And sensation, the second skanda, has to do with, I think in your text, you use the translation of feeling. That can cause confusion. Sensation refers to, come from the contact between the six sense organs and the six sense objects. So when the eye organ come into contact with sight object, and then the coming together, the contact generates, coming together of that generates what we call sight consciousness, the seeing. So you can see how the experience of seeing is the coming together of these causes and conditions, right? The eye organs, first of all, you need to be there and it needs to be working. Like, it's like something can go wrong with your eye, then you can't, it does not function properly. And if there's no light, there's no seeing. And there's no distance between the eye organ and the object, can't see either. So you need to have space, you need to have light. These are causes and conditions, again, we don't think about. Yeah, I see. I see. Actually, the seeing is the coming together of causes and conditions. Sensation, this skanda of sensation itself is the coming together of causes and conditions. So understanding this, at least conceptually, will help us remember that, oh, okay, this moment of hearing sound. Some of you couldn't hear because I wasn't speaking loud enough and this microphone wasn't close to me enough. There wasn't very much hearing there. And then now there's a little bit more. And so sometimes the hearing organ may not be, the ear organ may not be working. And then it won't be hearing. Like causes and conditions coming together, the contact of a functioning sense organ and also the presence of sense object with conditions. So if we're in a vacuum, there's no sound. Of course, if we're in a vacuum, we would not be alive either. But like, I'm trying to make the point, like we need to have air for the sound to transmit from here to your ear. Causes and conditions that makes sensation, that big part of our experience possible. And so when there is, so the sensation, that's our experience. It's not suffering itself. So again, what makes suffering? Upadana Skanda, aggregate affected by clinging, clinging to it as if it is a, there is a independently existing entity. There's like the, oftentimes with the idea that, oh, like I am seeing you. Like every moment when we give rise to this notion, there's the fixed me, completely separate from a fixed you that I am seeing, suffering. Suffering, because you're creating this separation, you're forgetting emptiness, and thus clinging to a permanent self, permanent separate you, suffering. So because we are not allowing the present moment, this flow of constantly changing causes and conditions to be, you are bound to see that something's not right. So, and of course, at a more usual level, you may experience sensation, there are some sensations that the body experience as you should say pleasant and unpleasant. Your body knows something, some sensation is not pleasant, such as when your hand's in the fire, your body will retract the hand. It's not like, okay, you know, no problem, not pleasant, no judging. You're like, no, like the body knows to, no, it's, you know, this is unpleasant. And so they are pleasant and unpleasant and neutral sensations. And, but we do, we are very habituated to bringing, to giving rise to vexation, hating the unpleasant. It's just the sensations. In our sitting meditation, we have a lot of opportunity to experience that, right? Discomfort, hate it, get agitated. The body sit a long time, the pressure accumulated. Good thing your nerve cells work and send signal to your brain, there's pressure. Thank goodness, your nerve cells work. We hate it, there's this pain, bad, hate it. So that's the sensation, and then perception. Perception, it's our judgment, the opinion, the idea that we hold towards the sensations. It's what gives sensation, our sensory experience, meaning. And again, they do not inherently need to be suffering. You sit here, you need to know, okay, yes, there's the body. You know this body is sitting here. That's perception. But then we add to how it's supposed to be. And then something's not how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to sit here, I'm supposed to feel calm, I'm supposed to feel super comfortable, but it's not. Not good enough. Suffering. So, and I'm gonna go through quickly the next skanda volition that you have as translated as mental formation. The function of volition actually includes everything of the mental function except sensation and perception we talked about. So volition, the character, means sort of like action. It's like it refers to all the consideration and decision making, you know, what should I do? You know, you may make a theory or story about what's going on. It's like, you know, like, that pain, I think it has something to do with how I lived up that box the other day, you know? And then you have story, like that person, I wish they would not put so much stuff in that box, and then blah, 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 blah. And then like you start, like, when I go home, I'm gonna tell them what I think, you know? And then all the stuff. And then, so what are you going to say, what you're going to do, and your and that idea, what all needs to be happening, all the volition. And so consciousness refers to your cognitive mind, the mind that is aware of what's going on. Clear awareness, that's not suffering itself. But very often, consciousness skanda also includes the mind of attachment. Attachment to form, sensation, perception, volition, as I, that's me. Actually, it's just form, sensation, coming together of sense organ and sense objects. There is, you know, from your past learning, oh, okay, this is a cup. You know what this is. There's this knowing, cognition. If you never learn that this is a thermos, it probably would not mean much to you. That's it. But we add to it, we attach to it as like mind, identifying with our sensations, identifying with our experience, that's mine. Suffering. And then because we identify ourselves with a certain sensation, certain way of being, certain way of experiencing life, then when things change, we hate it. That's why the three vexation, craving, aversion, they all come from fundamental ignorance. I think I have mentioned that in the past. Fundamental ignorance referring to the lack of clarity. Lack of clarity of the true nature of existence. That is emptiness, that everything, every moment is the coming together of causes and conditions. The body, form, skanda, sensation, perception. Perception is based on sensation and adding what we have known from before. What we think, we know, everything that makes meaning, coming together, causes and conditions. Different for everybody. But we think, what we think things means is inherent in it. No, we don't see it. So, I hope this helps you understand the skandhas a little bit. This is a big topic for an evening. And if you can remember suffering and how suffering is the coming together of what's going on in the present moment and our habitual reactivity of vexation and practice with it, this moment, how we create suffering. That means you can also stop giving rise to vexation, stop generating suffering, and integrate it into your daily life practice. I hope this is